beginning at verse 12 and reading just through verse 13. And this, of course, is in the context of verses that we considered last Sunday and verses we will be considering next Sunday as well. But Philippians chapter 2, beginning at verse 12, says this: "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure." Do you feel overwhelmed? Do you sometimes feel overwhelmed with all of the things that you're supposed to do as a Christian? And now, on top of that, we're in the midst of a COVID-19 pandemic, and maybe those responsibilities and all of the stress and all of the needs make you feel even more overwhelmed about those responsibilities. Well, let's just regroup and reset. If you believe in Christ as risen Lord and Savior, you know that you stand in Him. You stand under His lordship in all of life. And there are things God expects you to do as a follower of a Christ. And today we're going to talk about what those things are. But more than talking about what those things are, brothers and sisters, we're going to talk from this text about how you can do what God expects you to do. And as a follower of Christ, these are greatly encouraging for helping us to fulfill those very responsibilities, the expectations God has for us as those who follow Christ as Lord. Philippians 2, verses 12 through 13, follows the hymn to Christ about Christ. It's a hymn that points us to the great and mighty work of Jesus in coming, giving himself on the cross, and rising triumphant from death, and then saying that he is exalted above all, and he is the one to be worshiped by all. And of course, as believers in Christ, we've come to believe in him. We've been redeemed by his shed blood, and we put our faith in him. We've confessed him as Lord, and we're about the worshiping of him. So then, how do we live in a way that reflects him? That's today's message. There are two really important words for getting the interpretation of Philippians 2, verses 12 and 13. And those are the first word of each of the two verses. The word therefore and the word for. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now. And of course, as Paul speaks to the church there in Philippi, he speaks with an affection of a pastor, of the heart of one who appreciates and loves them and the common bond they have in Christ. But he says, therefore. Therefore connects our effort, doing what God wants us to do, to Christ, to the work of Christ. Therefore points back to Philippians 2, verses 9 through 11. And the second word is for in verse 13. For connects to the working of God inside of us, connects that effort that we are called to do to the mighty working of God himself, God the Holy Spirit, inside of it. It is because of this work that we can do what God wants us to do. Verse 12 is the effort we are called to put in as obedient followers of Christ the Lord. Verse 13 is the energy that God gives us so that we can. Let me give you an illustration of sorts about from my childhood experience, and maybe some of you remember this. There was a cartoon I enjoyed watching as a kid called Underdog. Look in the air. Is it a bird? Is it a plane? Is it a frog? A frog? No, it's Underdog. And of course, Underdog was this little kind of weak little dog who gained great strength as he opened the secret compartment in his ring, which he filled with an Underdog super energy pill. Brothers and sisters, it's not a pill, but it is God who works in you. That's the energy so that we can do what God has called us to do. That's the effort. There are those who may think of the Christian life as sort of being an exercise in relaxing. Their idea of Christianity is sort of like casual, corner-cutting, a kind of compromising, crafting your own comfort Christianity. And that's not at all what the Bible has in mind, and certainly it does not square at all with the clear teaching of God's Word here in Philippians 2, verse 12. God has clear expectations for us as we follow Christ. In fact, Paul speaks of his own example and encourages them to follow his example, one of great commitment, pressing on, and great sacrifice in the cause of Christ. And here then in this text, we are given some specifics, not only about that effort, but so much encouragement related to how we get the energy for that effort, what it is God calls us to do. Do you shrink back? Do you give up? Do you say, there's no way I can? This text tells us how we can, and that we can, and what it is God wants us to do. Paul wrote the book of Philippians from prison as he was proclaiming the gospel in a difficult situation. He encouraged them as well to proclaim the gospel in their difficult situation. And as he exhorts them in this, it clearly here at this stage of the writing of the book is an effort that's focused on doing what God expects with the power that God gives. Following Christ as Lord as we glorify Him and exalt Him and trust in Him and follow Him each and every day and each and every action in our lives as believers. That's our life in Christ. Do you want to kind of try to kind of lower the bar? And maybe in a time of COVID-19, you think, now I really even more can lower the bar. I've got so much on my plate. This whole Christian growth thing and all God expects of me, I just want to keep lowering the bar. I want to encourage us. I want to exhort us. This passage tells us, no, keep the bar where God has set it. Keep the bar where God has set it, but realize God is going to give you the strength. The Lord Jesus, as you follow Him who is your Lord, is going to give you the strength to continue on, to grow in Him, to glorify Him each and every step along the way. That's life in Christ that He has called us to here. We're going to look today then at just two aspects of this text. Verse 12 and verse 13, what it means to be following Christ as Lord. First, there's effort God expects from us. There is clearly, verse 12, effort God expects from us. And many other Bible passages get at this, and hundreds, if not thousands, of commands in the Bible connect to this. God says, here's what I expect. Verse 13, though, is about the energy God gives. And, of course, without the energy God gives, none of us could do anything God wants us to do. But this is written to believers in Jesus Christ who have the Holy Spirit's indwelling presence and have all the promises of Christ. And God here, and the wonderful promise in this verse about the energy He gives to us as we, so we can follow Christ as Lord in a way that God expects from us. All this from Philippians 2, verses 12 through 13. Let's talk first about the effort God expects from us. if you want to just look at your Bible, you can kind of note some key words there. And this will pretty much give you the outline of kind of some of the aspects of the effort God expects from us. First, it is because of Christ that we expend this effort. The therefore connects to that. It is effort God expects from us because of Christ and our connection to Him as our Lord. Secondly, the effort God expects from us is that we would continue to obey. That believers in Christ, and Paul is writing here to a wonderful group of Christians in Philippi. They did have some problems, but as a general rule, they were obeying Christ. What a wonderful statement. And he wants them not to rest on the past, but to continue to obey Christ. That's the second aspect of the effort God expects from us. The third is, and this one raises some questions maybe, but we'll explain it, working out your own salvation. It's right there in the text, the effort God expects. Therefore, as you have obeyed in my absence and much more in my presence and much more in my absence, continue to work out your own salvation. Working out your salvation is part of the effort that God expects from us. And that's not working for your salvation. We're going to clarify that. Salvation is a free gift of God's grace secured by Jesus. But there is some responsibility here in working it out. And fourth, with fear and trembling. There again, some people like, they're going to go crazy with that. And we need to understand what is Paul saying here. But the effort God expects is a with fear and trembling effort. All of these are in Philippians 2, verse 12. All of these phrases in this verse, if you look at them there in your Bible, you consider because of Christ, continue to obey, working out your salvation with fear and trembling. They point to the effort God expects from redeemed believers as we follow Christ as Lord. It's Christ exalting, Christ trusting, because He is Lord and I follow Him as my Lord, that I put forth this effort God expects from me. Let's look first at the because of Christ. The word therefore points us back to this. When you see the word therefore, look and see what it's there for. And of course, it's therefore pointing us back to the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is the Lord, the one who is exalted above all. And He's our Lord. We've confessed Him. We, by faith, we believe in Him and we confess Him. We bow down before Him. And of course, that calls for responsible effort. Can you imagine if Jesus was standing face to face in front of you and you said, He said to you, hey, do this. And you say, no, I'd rather not. When we don't put forth the effort God expects from us, in a way, we're saying that to Him, aren't we? We're saying, no, Jesus, I call you Lord, but I really don't mean it. At least in this point, I'd rather not do what you say. And of course, because of Christ, therefore, He is the Lord. He's your Lord. He's redeemed you. You are bowing down before Him. You will one day give praise to Him forever and ever in heaven. And that calls for responsible effort that God expects. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now continue in the effort that the Lord expects based on the Lord's work and that He is Lord. And then there's continue to obey. Continue to obey. The stress here is on obedience. Now, they had obeyed the gospel, that they had believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. But it seems here in the context, Paul's talking about a lot of these specific commands he's been giving them, commands related to Christian living, to unity, to serving, to advancing the gospel, rejoicing in the Lord, etc., etc. We could even look at the following verses we're going to consider next week, which sort of compares the Christian life, it seems, to Israel's experience where they had been delivered from Egypt, but now were walking on their way to the promised land, and a lot of kind of temptations and issues came up for them, and a lot of temptations and issues come up for us in life, And of course, the summary statement would be, test everything by the scripture and obey the scripture so that you do obey the Lord, what God is saying. Here in the book of Philippians, Paul is giving some specifically tailored commands and reinforcements, encouragement to them. And yet all of us need these commands to be in front of our minds as we read God's word, as we hear God's word, so that we can make those in-course adjustments, reminders, encouragement, corrections. The scriptures give us what we need so that we continue to obey. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now. One thing to think about with respect to this obedience, which connects also kind of a little bit to the therefore, is the obedience of Christ. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 8, it says, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient. Obedient. Think of that. Christ, the exalted Lord, in humbling himself and coming to earth, was obedient, perfect obedience to the Father. And of course, his obedience calls for our obedience to him and the commands God has for us. Continue in it, not to rest on the past, but in the now, in what you face now, continue to obey, continue to grow, continue to seek what God would want you to do. And then there's the working out. We've talked about because of Christ, the therefore, continue to obey. The working out your salvation, your own salvation, which seems to emphasize the individual responsibility, although they were part of a community. Let me talk about that a little bit. There are some who have interpreted these verses mainly in a community sense, to say that this was about the Christians as a community continuing in salvation that Jesus gives them together. And there's something to be said for this based on the similarity of chapter 2, verse 12, with chapter 1, verse 27. The unity does definitely matter as we live out this salvation. But there's a couple reasons why, even though there's a strong community sense of this, that I believe the individual is primarily in view. And the first is this, that the only way a community has healthy obedience in continuing on is if individuals in that community do in their own hearts. And verse 13 seems to point to the individual working in the hearts of individual believers. And even if it's resulting in the community being impacted, the community is only impacted when the individual is impacted. God's work in the hearts of individual believers is the way that a community is a healthy community, standing together and growing in a way that honors God. And the second reason why I favor the individual interpretation, although I think there's truth in the collective focus, is because Paul uses his own individual example repeatedly in Philippians. Again and again in chapter 1 and chapter 3. And not only his individual example, but the individual example of Timothy, individual example of Epaphroditus. Paul is clearly here highlighting individuals following Christ as Lord so that other individuals follow Christ as Lord, which results in a community in a healthy way continuing to follow Christ as Lord. And that is working out your own salvation. Now, we are saved by God's grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 make that abundantly clear. And even here in the book of Philippians, chapter 3, verse 9, Paul says it's not a righteousness that comes from law, what we do. It's a righteousness that is by faith in Christ. So Paul knows that salvation is by God's grace through faith. He even here in Philippians chapter 3, verse 9. What he's talking about is not working for salvation. What he's talking about is continuing on in your salvation. The scripture speaks of salvation as something that has happened and something that will one day ultimately be culminated in a future happening and is progressively working now. What he's getting at is that idea of continuing on in your salvation, progressing as God works in you now, working out your salvation. I remember back in taking math, algebra, or whatever it was, sometimes you'd get that problem that you were assigned and you took one look at it and you go, I know this. Now, you had to work it out, but you knew how to do it. As the terms were defined, it's like, oh yeah, I get this, I can do this. So you have it, you do know it, you know him, you have life, but you work it out. And that's what salvation is in this sense of taking responsibility, putting in the effort God expects, God shaping and molding you in this growing process, this sanctification process, one step at a time, one day at a time. And there's a lot of journey ahead here, and God wants you to take responsibility for those steps of the journey to work out your own salvation. It's all a work of his grace, but the emphasis here is on the effort God expects. Verse 13 focuses again on the grace. Let's talk lastly about the final aspect of the effort God expects from us from this verse, Philippians 2, verse 12. It says, with fear and trembling. Now, fear is one of those words that is used oftentimes in the Bible in a very healthy sense, in the sense of the fear of God, this reverent awe before Almighty God. And it begins with a dread of realizing you're under the judgment of God, and then when redeemed, we continue in that reverent awe of Almighty God. The dread drives us to trust Christ as our Savior, and then we live in this reverent awe. The Old Testament is filled with commands and reminders about fearing the Lord. And this is a common theme even throughout the New Testament. This reverent awe of Almighty Holy God. That's fear in a healthy sense. Paul's encouraging them to have that reverent awe of a mighty holy God. And there's also then trembling here. And trembling when combined with fear, there's several passages in the New Testament that have this fear and trembling. Trembling is that kind of shaking that reflects a reality of your emotions or your spiritual awareness of something really incredible going on, something very significant going on. And fear and trembling, when combined together, really point to a soberness, a sincerity that connects to proper action and obedience. Knowing who God is, knowing my weaknesses, I trust him, I have that reverent awe of him, and that motivates me, it moves me to sincere, sober action and proper obedience. Now, let's just clarify what fear and trembling doesn't mean. Fear and trembling doesn't mean that believers are afraid of their rejection by God. In fact, Philippians chapter 1, verse 6 says, Paul writes, hey, I'm confident God who's begun a good work in you will continue. If you're a true believer, you can be confident God will continue. You shouldn't fear God's going to reject you if you're a true believer. You shouldn't fear you're going to fall away if you're a true believer, but you should fear your propensity and your weakness in a way that drives you to have that reverent awe of Almighty God and continue to trust in him. It doesn't mean that true believers should fear the forces that oppose us. Philippians chapter 1, verses 27 and 28 speaks of fighting fear with faith. It doesn't mean we should fear suffering even, because God is with us in it. It doesn't mean that true believers should fear the return of Jesus Christ. In fact, we look for it eagerly, Philippians 3, verse 20 says. It doesn't mean that redeemed believers, true believers, should look at life with these negative, sour, kind of woe is me lenses, because Paul throughout Philippians encourages them to rejoice in the Lord. We stand in the Lord. We are in the Lord. Therefore, we can rejoice in the Lord even in difficult circumstances, knowing that He has won the victory, we are His, and yet in the midst of the realities of life, the struggles of life, our own weaknesses, we desperately need God, and we need God to help us take responsibility. And that seems to be the focus of what fear and trembling does mean. My propensity toward disobedience, the patterns of my life that sometimes keep me in a pattern of disobedience, my distraction, my capacity for deception, the body of Christ being riddled with disunity, these are all real struggles, and they should drive us to looking to the Lord, taking responsibility as God wants us to take it. Let me share with you something what I believe this sort of diligence to look for the threats and letting those threats motivate us spiritually, comparing that to our diligence to look for the threats of COVID-19. Is anyone going to the store a little differently these days? You probably don't even want to go to the store unless you have to, because there's threats. You're aware of who's coughing around you and where's the sanitizer and have I touched that and who's touched that. There are threats more severe, spiritually speaking, that surround us all the time. And yet a lot of times, as Christians, we've been sort of like, it's no big deal. I'm just like, and this is saying, no, fear and trembling, take responsibility. Do what God wants you to do to look at those patterns, to address those issues, to be aware of that deception, to be humbly trusting God and looking to God with the filter of His word and the priority of our responsibilities before Him. That seems what this fear and trembling is really getting at. It's to motivate us to put forth the effort God expects from us and look to God for the strength to do that. It's because of Christ we continue to obey, or we move back toward obedience if we've gotten offline. We start obeying and we stay obeying and we seek to return to obeying. We want to serve in obeying. We want God's help to address those some things today that are in the way of that obeying. Because of Christ working out our salvation with fear and trembling. That's not a relaxed approach, is it? That's not a corner-cutting Christianity, crafting it to my own comfort. That's letting the bar be where the bar is, and not in a way that seeks to exalt myself, but in a way that seeks to exalt Christ. I am utterly unable to do those things except for the working of God, except for the grace of God that saved me and the grace of God that's continuing to grow and sanctify me. And verse 13 then points to that, the energy God gives us. This is encouraging, brothers and sisters. This is encouraging, and this was written to believers. I want to clarify that. If you're not yet a believer in Christ, you don't have this working in you, but you can through faith in Christ. And if you are a believer in Christ, then let me just remind you here as we look at verse 13, some of the wonderful ways God gives to us the energy we need day by day, moment by moment, in the hardest places of our lives, so that we can do what God wants us to do. There's enabling that God gives to us that's within believers. For it is God who works in you. And there's the effecting of our wills. This is big. Both to will. We'll never do what God wants us to do. We don't even want to do what God wants us to do unless our will has been impacted. And the gospel impacts our will. Not just that we believed, that was a work of God's grace, but that we continue to do what God wants us to do. We grow in what God wants us to do. We make those course corrections in what God wants us to do. We have strength to stand up and do what God wants us to do. How do we do what God wants us to do? me know where we're at, Mike.
What?
The energy God gives to us? Okay. Thanks, man. We're talking about the energy God gives to us. Second main point in following Christ as Lord. This is the power and grace God gives to believers in Jesus Christ. It's enabling that's within us. It affects our wills, which is huge. Without the working of God affecting our wills, we will not do what God wants us to do, nor will we want to do what God wants us to do. And that, of course, is an indication the gospel affects our wills, and it affects us not only in that we believe, but that we continue day by day by the working and grace of God's Spirit within us to do what he wants us to do because he has been affecting our wills, to grow and serve and step along this journey of transformation by the working of God affecting our wills. For it is God who works in you both to will and then to work for his good pleasure too. God empowers our working. God empowers so that we work. All these point to the energy that God gives to believers to do what God calls us to do as we follow Christ as Lord. This is Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. You might want to just look there at your Bible then. We're going to talk about God who works in you. That's enabling both to will, that's affecting our wills, and to work for his good pleasure. That's how God empowers our working. Let's talk first about enabling. In the Greek text, the word God is the first word in the verse to accent that he is the subject. It's about God. God for is at work within you. He is the subject. God enables us, giving us what we need to be growing, to be obeying, to be doing what God wants us to do today and tomorrow and the next day. Whatever it is that's your responsibility in following Christ as Lord, God gives the energy for you to do that as you follow Christ as Lord, and so that you follow Christ as Lord. For it is God who works in you. The Greek word for works gets at the idea of energy, and it's effective energy. It's energy that's activated and effectively working. Back when this whole virus thing started, we started hearing about the possibility that someday someone might have a vaccine or some other kind of really effective treatment. And almost every news report we hear now is related to how long will be before there's a vaccine, what kind of treatments are available, et cetera, et cetera. I want us to go back to that word fear and trembling in the previous verse and think about another potential aspect of this kind of sense of amazement. And I spoke about sort of the negative, our weaknesses motivating us with that sense of we need God's protective help and encouragement. But I want us to think perhaps a little differently about fear and trembling. What about the positive? And for purposes of this illustration, I want you to imagine that somewhere in a lab today, somebody, some man or woman, discovers the cure. They're like, I've got it. At that moment, when if they had the confidence that they had now the cure, would they feel some measure of great excitement? Would they be like off the charts, like this is crazy, this is exciting, this is good, this is so good for all of humanity? Of course they would. I want us to think about when you do what God wants you to do, the fear and trembling of that it was God working a miracle in you. To have that sense of, this is amazing. This is God doing something here. And God who works in you by the power of his Spirit to shape and mold us, to give us the energy to do what God wants us to do, is more miraculous in some ways than the cure, the COVID-19. You've been redeemed, yes, but now that power of canceled sin is broken in your life by the energy of God, by the working of God. There's a miracle there. And that should make us shake with amazement and praise to God. To take responsibility, yes, but to delight in him and praise him and rejoice in him. I believe that's part of what Paul was getting at here when he talked about fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you. You know, in the text of Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11, Paul speaks of Jesus Christ as Lord. And if you want to kind of write down a couple of key Bible verses, write down Isaiah 45, verse 22 and verse 24. There's a remarkable connection here to the Old Testament. Virtually certain that Paul is quoting from, a loose quote, from Isaiah 45, verse 22. And he's speaking about the Lord God, Yahweh God, Jehovah God, the one true and living God. And he speaks there in the Old Testament, God speaks, says, to me every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear allegiance. And Paul applies what was spoken in Isaiah about Yahweh to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Lord. He is God. And then over in verse 24, it says, only in the Lord shall it be said of me, this is Isaiah 45, verse 24, our righteousness and strength. Only in the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that every knee shall bow and confess, our righteousness and strength. You have strength in the Lord. God gives that energy to you, God working in you to enable you, believer. And then the energy God gives affects our will. Let's consider that as well, both to will and to work, both to will and to work. If a car is all there, the engine, the parts, and all of it, there's no movement unless there's a spark. The power of God working in you is a spark that moves your will. And he does it in the lives of believers, influencing us by his grace and shaping us more and more each day to do what pleases him. He does that day by day, moment by moment. That's the energy God gives, both to will. And this is in the lives of redeemed believers, God doing this work. Paul uses it here to encourage them and to encourage us. God is shaping us. And then God's work in us is empowering us to do his work. It's not empowering us so we can relax and ignore the things that God wants us to do. It's empowering us to do the very things God wants us to do, to will and to work for his good pleasure. Those things that please him, that are truly following the Lord, giving glory to the Lord, God is giving us the strength to do the things that he wants us to do. If you feel you need strength, I'm confident that the strength you need comes as you look to God so you can do what you need to do. God gives us that empowering by his working. So this is the energy God gives, enabling within believers, affecting our wills, empowering our working. And of course, the end result is to do his will, that which pleases him, the commands of God, the agenda of God, the work of God, the gospel advanced through the people of God. Those are the things that God is empowering believers to do daily. Now, who is able to receive this energy? It is only a believer in Jesus Christ. That's why I want to just take a moment to talk to anyone who's listening who may have yet to receive Christ as Savior. You may be overwhelmed with life and wish that God would just give you strength with life. I want to suggest to you the strength you need is for something bigger. That is for life in Christ. Life in Christ. And the only way to have life in Christ is by a personal response of faith in Jesus Christ who died for you. And that life will give you strength, not just get to through life, but to live life in a growing way, in a way that God expects as you follow Christ as your Lord. Just to review how it is that Jesus provides forgiveness of sins, it is through his death on a cross. Philippians chapter 2, verse 8 speaks of this. He became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. And as Paul sings this hymn about Christ to the glory of Christ, he's speaking of that whole grand narrative of Christ, the Son of God, taking on human flesh, living a perfectly sinless life of obedience, going all the way to the cross, and then rising from death as he takes our sin and he is exalted as Lord above all. And there's a need then for a personal response to him to receive what his death provides. Mark chapter 10, verse 45, a great summary of what Jesus did. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. And the response step is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. If you've yet to take that step, I encourage you today to do so. For those who are believers, there's a response as well. So as we end today's message, I'd like us to just focus on our response. And first, speaking to anyone who has yet to receive Christ, let me share one additional scripture. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10 says this: if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. That's a sincere heart expression, bowing before him as Lord, confessing it with one's mouth. That's a response of personal faith. And if you take that step today, you have that assurance of forgiveness, and you have that promise of Christ's power working in you all the way throughout your life, all the way to heaven. If you haven't taken that step today, as we conclude, we want to invite you again to respond. You could text LORD to that number you were given earlier. I think it's there on the website as well. Or give us some kind of an email or phone call so we can help guide you as you take that step. I want to then, though, suggest a few steps for believers in responding to today's message. What's been coming through to you, and what we can do to just kind of accent what God is saying here in this text. Can we just maybe suggest four things? First, put forth the effort to grow. Whatever you're dealing with, maybe you need to do some inventorying, cleaning out the attic of your life. Maybe there's things that COVID is raising in you, like, wow, I have an issue with this. Maybe there are stresses that you need to look at how the scriptures speak to those realities. But put forth the effort to grow. Do so now as you do so always. That's one way we as believers can take to heart this message about following Christ as Lord, but with the responsibilities, the effort God expects, and the energy that Jesus gives. Second is this: rely on God who gives the strength. Always, always trust him. Always go to him. Always seek to glorify Jesus. and exalt him in what you do. Don't make it about you and what you do. Make it about Christ and the strength he gives. Put the focus on relying on God as you put forth the effort to grow. And I have a third suggestion, and that is memorize Philippians 2, verses 12 and 13. There's so many scriptures that are worthy of memorizing, but this is one scripture I believe is especially worthy of memorizing. It's just a wonderful summary statement of our responsibilities and God's grace to help us fulfill those. It's a wonderful statement of the trust in the Lord Jesus that we're called to and the obedience following the Lord Jesus that we're called to. I suggest maybe memorizing Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 to 13. And one final exhortation. There is clearly in the book of Philippians a collective community of believers united on mission together kind of emphasis. And this scripture is not meant to be lived in isolation, just me at home trying to obey Jesus, study my Bible, and thankful that he's helping me. It's a scripture that is about us coming together and all of us doing that as the gospel is advanced, as we proclaim Jesus and worship him together. So fourth, I want to invite you to serve and grow and worship God with Trinity Community Church. If this is your church, serve and grow and worship God together in this community. And if it's not your community right now, maybe you want to make it your community if you believe in the Lord Jesus. We want to invite you to worship and grow and serve Jesus together here. And if you're geographically away from Trinity, or you know this is not a church that's a good fit for you, then I want to strongly encourage you, find a community. If this is not it, find a community where you can help others grow, encourage them as they grow, serve God together, take the responsibility to put in the effort God calls us to do as we follow Christ as Lord, and receive together and encourage one another in the energy God gives so that we can follow Christ as Lord together. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for your word, for how it speaks to us. Thank you for this wonderful portion of scripture that so clearly addresses just our lives, whatever the context they may be in, whether we're new believers, whether we've been a believer a long time, whether we're feeling a great sense of joy and peace right now, or whether we're feeling a sense of being overwhelmed and sort of unable to do what we think we should do, Lord. Thank you for the finished work of Jesus on the cross. Thank you for his lordship over all. Thank you for, God, the clarity of these instructions about our responsibilities. Thank you for the wonderful power and grace and help that you give us day by day so that we as your followers can do what you call us to and grow in those along the journey of life. Lord Jesus, we want to worship you and honor you in everything. We want our lives to reflect you more and more. Even in difficult circumstances, God, we want to step up to the bar where you've set it for us. And thank you, God, that you give us the grace so that we can. In Jesus' name, we pray this. We exalt him. We want to honor him. Amen.